Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer. Yes!
Paul touches it.
The doctor
goes to Hart. On Thompson steps right, shoots for the win. A three. He got it.
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary.
Not for us.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter, producer with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. Today, I'm joined by my good friend, Jake Asman, host of the main event from 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern on SB Nation Radio, and also host slash reporter with ESPN 97.5 here in Houston. How's it going today, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Jackson. First off, I appreciate you having me on the show. And second off, the fact that just a couple months ago, you were an intern at SB Nation Radio. Now you got your own Rockets podcast. You're working here at 790 at the Rockets flagship station. I could not be more proud of you, man. So thanks for having me on the show, but it's an honor to be on the show talking some Rockets basketball with you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I couldn't do it without you pushing me along the way. You know, you kind of helped me get into that internship in the first place, so thank you for that. Now, as far as the Rockets go, let's face it, they've been on maybe not thin ice, but they've had a couple questionable losses here and there, and there's a lot of maybe not drama surrounding the team, but a lot of questions regarding Russell Westbrook, his overall fit with the team. What has been your first impression so far as with Russell Westbrook as a Houston Rocket?
I think it's been uneven, but I also think when we sit down and we record this podcast and you look at the team's 15-8 record, you know, in the season so far, there's been a lot of positives that we've seen from Westbrook. I thought the game he had, you know, against the Kings the other night, he played awesome. He played great down the stretch. We saw him aggressively take the ball to the rim. I mean, he should have had a game-winning basket if the Rockets, you know, didn't get a tough break with the three-pointer by the Kings that chucked that one in. But I think Russell Westbrook has been kind of as advertised so far. Efficiency-wise, he makes you scratch your head at times. But there are also times where you look at this guy and go, he's a freak of nature. His intensity, what he brings defensively, that mindset, that's something that you want on the team. I just think it's way too early to kind of jump to conclusions on what he is. We got to give these guys at least half the season, longer than that. And, you know, realistically, you know, we all want answers right away. We all want to see this team, you know, define themselves early. But it's still not even, you know, mid-December at this point. And, you know, people always joke with the NBA, it doesn't really start till Christmas, right? So there's still plenty of time to go. It's a long season. I mean, this Rockets team started 11-14 last year. So I think every Rocket fan's got to take a deep breath and just kind of understand that it's going to be a work in progress. There's a superstar on this team trying to gel with another superstar. That doesn't happen overnight. That takes time. And I think as the season goes on, you're going to see better performances with Harden and Westbrook together playing well at the same time.
And we've seen that already a little bit. They've been gelling a bit more. It seems like Westbrook is kind of slowly finding himself in this offense. And this is something that I've harped on a little bit is, you know, Westbrook, he had that offseason knee scope. He didn't get to train or play ball at all over the summer. He didn't get to get his body into the shape that he is, I guess, usually accustomed to having it in at the start of the NBA season. And so we've seen that a little bit. He's picking and choosing his spots better. The decision-making, though, is always something that you're going to worry about with Russell Westbrook, even when he has a good game, because against the, sure, he had the great game against the Kings, which is arguably the best game that he's had in a Rockets jersey. But then you have the game against the Suns where he still had a good game, but he went like 1 of 9 from mid-range. He's always going to be the Russell Westbrook that takes those, you know, ill-advised mid-range shots. And as far as the way that he gels with Harden, you said it yourself already, you know, got to give him time. And I appreciate that because there have been too many people that go on social media and they're saying the experiment's not working, the pairing is horrible, they need to blow it up. And these are these, you know, extremist takes that really have no bearing on what's actually going on with this team. They're 15-8. They're playing well. They're playing better than they were to this point last season. And they haven't been healthy. They've missed Eric Gordon. They've missed Capella for some time, Daniel House for a lot of games. But even with a team that's faced all these injuries throughout the early part of the season, a team with James Harden has a floor of like 50 wins. He's just that good. He's going to carry a team, even with injuries, even with trying to gel with another superstar like Westbrook, he's going to carry them to about 50 wins at least, even in this stacked Western Conference. But James Harden is one of, if not the most polarizing superstar in the league. What do you think about him and just kind of the way the national media likes to just badger him, put him down, all, you know, just... It's a little ridiculous at this point, personally.
It could certainly be over the top. And it's very interesting because, you know, I'm in a spot where I do a show for 4 hours a day. It's a national show on SB Nation Radio, but doing work with ESPN 97.5, living in Houston, I see Harden every night. And I feel like the national media maybe, you know, picks and chooses when they're going to watch a Rocket game, right? You know, oh, Harden's putting up all these stats, but, you know, what's he really going to do in a playoff game? And it's like, well, you know, watch him in the playoffs. You'll see he's had plenty of really good playoff games, too. So I think it's the classic example of once a narrative kind of gets started, it kind of snowballs. And I think that's certainly part of it. I think Harden gets way too much hate. I mean, the guy is one of the all-time great players. He's one of the all-time great scorers. I'm not going to try and diminish anything he's doing. Does he use the rules to his advantage? I think every Rocket fan will tell you, yeah, but that shouldn't
absolutely
be, that shouldn't be an issue. And I think the biggest thing for Harden, and it's unfair, but this is kind of how it works in the NBA, in this world we live in where it's all about championships. Until Harden wins a championship and even gets to an NBA finals, there's always going to be that narrative that he can't win, that he can't perform in the playoff. Fair or not, that's the narrative. That's the reality, right? You know, Alex Rodriguez was a choker till he won a championship with the Yankees in 2009. David Price with the Red Sox was a choker till he won in 2018. Hate to bring up baseball examples here, but, you know, LeBron was a choker after the finals in 2011. He wins a title. We don't hear about how LeBron can't be, you know, a big game player in the clutch anymore. That was a real narrative at the beginning of his career, if you recall. So it's a narrative, but it's not something that should define the player. If you watch basketball, if you watch the Rockets, you know how special of a player James Harden is. I think the issue is we live in a society where it's championships or bust. The reality is there are 29 NBA teams every year that don't win an NBA Finals, right? That don't get the raise a banner. So when the expectation is championship or bust and you haven't won a championship yet, it's a little unfair, but that's kind of where we are with Harden. He's accomplished everything you can accomplish in the regular season. It's all about winning a title. And that's why when Russ and James, when they have said all along, we're all about winning, we've had all these awards, we're all about winning, they gotta mean that. And I don't dispute that they do, but like that's the reality. You want to change the narrative, you know, you want people to stop talking about how Harden can't win in the playoffs or he's a selfish player, he can't make guys around him better. You want that narrative to go away? They got to win, and they got to go out there and get past a Western Conference Finals, go to an NBA Finals. Fair or foul, that's the only way you change the narrative.
Okay, now speaking of narratives, as far as the Rockets are concerned, they've had kind of this ongoing feud with the referees of the NBA and just really the NBA by and large. I mean, you had the whole Daryl Morey geopolitical crisis over in China, and then you've got
what a start to this podcast this was for you. You're like, yeah, I can't wait to talk about basketball, Russ and James, and oh yeah, Daryl Morey's going to tweet something that's going to cause, you know, an international controversy, so I got to talk politics and Hong Kong for my first couple shows.
That was absolutely hilarious. I was joking for a little while that we'd have to rename the podcast to Locked on China or Locked on International Controversy instead of Locked on Rockets, because it felt like that's all I was talking
about.
LeBron
did you no favors with his comments on the whole thing.
I
started calling him Commie James on the show for a couple weeks, but I actually genuinely do like LeBron. He does a ton of good. I mean, yeah, he's paying for, you know, school for how many kids in Akron? I mean, in college. It's amazing what he does, but that was ridiculous. And then, you know, we were talking about this off air. Daryl Morey hasn't said anything about the China stuff. It's like the media is just like, let it gone away. Like, no one's going to ask him anything. Morey wouldn't say anything. No one has asked Tillman anything about it. It's like that story has just died. Like, I wonder if Adam Silver, like, called up all the national media folks and was like, well, yeah, we're not going to ask any questions about this, right? And everyone was like, yep, nope, we're not going to say anything. Because that story has completely gone to waste.
Swept under the rug.
That's it. It's like, I wonder what happened there. No one told me anything. I'm just speculating here that there was some sort of mandate to those in the know not to continue to cycle through that storyline.
And that's probably for the better, honestly, because then it allows the NBA to just kind of rebuild what it was working towards. And honestly, you know, China's, you know, airing shows or airing the broadcasts again, and kind of it allows everybody to backpedal. And
yeah, they want to watch Harden average 38 a game.
There we go. 38 and a half a game.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, I got to put you in your place. We got to make sure we get the stats right on this Locked on Rockets podcast. Now, we'll actually...
And that's why people hate James Harden.
We'll keep talking all things Rockets here in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I'm here with my good friend Jake Asman. And Jake, before the last break, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on just the way the Rockets interact with the referees. You know, in a way, you know, you had the Spurs game where you lose because of the, honestly, first off, had you ever seen anything like that? A basket that didn't count
Never.
In a basketball
no,
game.
No, that I was watching the game live. And it was funny. I was on the phone with a buddy of mine, so I didn't have the sound on. So I didn't have, like, I was listening to the Rockets feed of the game, and I didn't have, you know, Craig Ackerman's call on. So I didn't know what happened. I'm like, did I just miss something there? Did Harden, at first I thought Harden just missed the dunk. I thought it was going to be like, oh, Shaq and a fool. Here we go. James made a funny gaffe. And when you see it goes in, and the fact that, you know, there was no way to review it, I'm thinking, come on. Like, what? There's no point of having instant replay if you can't review something like that. It just, it is a major flaw that the NBA has to look into. The point of replay is to get the call right. You can't tell me you can't review whether or not a basket was good or not, because that's the whole point of having replay. Now, that all being said, it was not the reason why the Rockets ended up losing the game. The reason why they lost the game is because they blew a double-digit lead with 7 minutes and 50 seconds left. But I understand why Rockets fans were annoyed and agitated, but anyone who thought they were going to, you know, win the protest, I'm sorry. There was just no scenario where, you know, the Rockets protest was going to be, you know, validated by the NBA and they were going to replay, you know, the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds of the game. So, terrible call, but to me, it's not the reason why they lost the game, and it's kind of one of those, it is what it is, you just got to move on moments.
I think there's a lot of fans that would agree with that. And, you know, you look at the team and they shouldn't have lost that game. They shouldn't have let the Kings hang around as closely as they did. Really, they let the Suns hang around pretty closely for much of that game. And that game could have easily broken the other way. And Rockets may be sitting on, you know, a 2-game losing streak instead of just the one, you know, heartbreaking loss to the buzzer beater against the Kings. But I think one of the other aspects of this referee situation is then you look at in the Kings game itself, you know, you've got this weird setup with the challenge system where it feels like a lot of times, like 9 out of 10 times, the referees are not overturning their calls. They're not, you know, because, you know, you get the referees on the court who are then reviewing the calls that they made. And it really feels like a flawed system to this point. Going back to the Spurs game with that missed dunk, D'Antoni was told he couldn't challenge it. Then he was told that he was past the window for challenging it. And there seemed to be no clear, concise answer on what the rules were regarding the challenge system. What do you think about the challenge system so far?
I don't like it either. I'm with Mike D'Antoni on this. I'm with, I think Rick Carlisle has been very outspoken about this. There's been several coaches that don't
like
it.
A lot of people are outspoken about it.
I think Doc Rivers has said he'd be against it, you know, rather not have it. Do we really need it? Is it making that much of a difference? I think we should just improve the replay in general. Like, everything should be reviewable if it's a made basket or not. Like, that is the point of instant replay, right? Was the basket good or not? In the NFL, all scoring plays are reviewed. You should be able to review whether or not a basket is good or not. So the challenge issue and the Harden dunk, to me, are two totally separate things because they just botched the whole Harden dunk situation. I mean, that should have been,
absolutely,
you know, obviously a bucket. It went in, it didn't. But I mean, I don't know what you do, but I just don't like this, like, oh, the coaches challenge, and then it slows down the game, and nobody knows if they're really going to be willing to overturn a call, because you're right, you have refs reviewing calls they just made, they don't want to look like they made the wrong call. It's a very flawed process, and I don't think it's making the game better, so they should probably look into getting rid of it by the time the season's over.
You know, Matt Bullard talks about it a lot on the Rockets broadcasts, both home and away broadcasts, but he always harps on wanting to add a fourth referee and just have essentially a replay referee, so a replay official, and he's sitting there, and after every call is made, he's reviewing the call, he's making sure it's the right one. Doesn't mean that he's going to then jump in and say, you got the call wrong. Matt's idea behind it is that you have a referee that then, if there is a question about whether or not the call was right or wrong, the current crew chief can walk over and be like, hey, did we get that one right? What did you see? And then that guy can then be like, no, you messed it up. You know, overrule it or switch it to a basket or do whatever. What do you think about that setup?
Yeah, I like Matt's idea. It's kind of like having, like, the sky judge that the, you know, Alliance of American Football League tried to implement, which, you know, the league folded because of the business side, but that was a good idea as far as the actual football. You know, if there's an obvious call that was made improper, fix it. And if you had that fourth independent official that's overseeing it, and he's like, well, we got this way wrong here. This should have been a flagrant. No, this guy was actually out of bounds. You guys missed it. Whatever the call is, I'm in favor of that. To me, I want the call to be right. You know, if I'm a fan of the Rockets and my team gets hosed because of a bad call, I don't mind if I have to wait an extra 5 minutes for them to review the damn thing, as long as they get it right. Get the call right, because that's what fans want. No one wants to root for a team and have your team lose because of a bad call. We'll wait around for the right call, but get the call right. And too many times, we've seen with the Rockets, we've seen with other teams this year and nationally televised games, they're not getting the call right. And it's obvious what the call should be, and they don't fix it properly. So Matt's idea to me would fix a lot of the issues we do have with the instant replay. Football is dealing with the same thing. How often do we not know what a catch is, or you know what a certain penalty is, right? Passing interference is now a big thing. Sports have overcomplicated the replay system. The goal should be to get the call right. So what is the best way to get the call right? Matt's idea sounds like a method to try and getting most of these calls correct, which is the goal at the end of the day, to try and get all of them correct.
And it provides jobs, which is always a good thing, right?
All about jobs. See, this podcast is great because we're all about the economy.
Exactly. We're all about the economy. We're all about, you know, preventing geopolitical crises over in crisis.
You should run for office, man. I mean, you really united, you know, this podcast listenership during a very troubling time over the summer.
How about we say Gatlin Asman 2020?
Let's do it, man. We'll run on, you know, Harden should continue to score 38.9, whatever, 0.5 points per game and come up with a great campaign.
All right. We'll come up with a campaign slogan in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. And we are rounding third, headed for home right here at Locked On Rockets. More baseball references for you. And I'm here with my good friend, Jake Asman. Now, Jake, at this point in the season, how do you see the Rockets kind of standing up to some of the other Western Conference elite or just some of the teams across the league? I think, you know, Bucks and Lakers are kind of head and shoulders above everybody else, right?
I think right now it's only fair to say that when you look at the records, you look at how well, you know, Giannis is playing for Milwaukee, you look at how well LeBron and AD have meshed. And by the way, you know, I know this is, you know, a Rockets podcast, but Frank Vogel's doing a tremendous job with the Lakers. It seems like everywhere LeBron goes, that first year is always a little shaky. It takes time for them to get going. Lakers got the best record in the Western Conference, and they're doing it with LeBron and AD in year one playing together, and Vogel, who was, you know, the much maligned choice over the summer, making that team, you know, gel together quick. He deserves a ton of credit. But I think you look at the Rockets as a team that right now, what are they? You're 15-8. So you're middle of the pack in the West. But I think the upside you have with the Rockets makes you feel like that this team has the potential to still be, you know, a top three team in the conference. We've seen flashes of it, right? They had the big win streak a couple weeks ago. We've seen flashes of this team really gelling. And with Harden, you feel like you got a chance in every game you're playing in. I think it just comes down to, A, the guy's got to stay healthy. You know, a big reason why Harden had the year he did last year is because of the injury to Chris Paul, and Capella missed time, and Gordon missed time. So Harden kind of had to take on that scoring load.
Unguardable tour.
You know, this year, you know, he's still scoring at the same rate, but everyone's been healthy for the most part. So it's kind of just seeing how this team will unfold throughout the year. I like Mike D'Antoni a lot personally and as a coach. So I think he's someone that, you know, you give the benefit of the doubt. You expect this team to get better as the year goes on. And you see the talents there. You're not going to bet against the Rockets' talent. Are they as good as the Lakers right now? No. Can they be? I mean, it's not even Christmas yet. There's a long way to go between now and when the playoffs start. And I expect the Rockets, when it's all said and done, to be in the mix for a top four seed in the West. And then you kind of go from there. The playoffs can be a crapshoot at times. We've seen it the last few years. What could happen with injuries? What could happen, you know, when you least expect it? Get in. Have a top four seed so you get a home series in the first round. Try and do better than that if you can. But the goal is to get in and then have a chance. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to bet on the Rockets' talent that they will have a chance to contend.
I'm going to put you a bit on the spot right now. Who do you pick coming out of the West right now?
It's tough for me to not say the Lakers, but you can't forget about the Clippers. I mean, the issue I have with the Clippers is we talk about how deep they are and how talented they are, but let's see it. You know, like let's see them put it all together when it matters. And I'm not going to doubt Kawhi. The guy was a Finals MVP a year ago, but you know, I don't like this whole load management BS. I loved when Harden said I'm going to go out there and play every game. I love when LeBron said that.
So you're firmly against load management.
I'm against it. Play. You know, fans pay a lot of money to watch professional athletes play, and you wonder why the NBA regular season ratings are down. Well, when you have the best players in the sport basically poo-pooing regular season games, saying they don't matter, which in reality, for the most part, they don't. Right? The regular season matters to a certain extent, but at the end end of the day, you don't need to treat the regular season like it's the playoffs. It's just not. And I think a big reason why, you know, maybe the casual NBA fan has lost interest night in, night out, is because you have the best players in the league saying, "Ah, we're good. Load management. Going to take a rest here." So I appreciate a guy like Harden and Russ saying, hell no, I'm going to go play. Like, my job is to play basketball. So I like the Clippers. I like what we've seen a lot, obviously, from the Lakers. How can you not? But we got a long way to go. We're not even at Christmas yet. Ask me this question in a couple months, and my answer will probably be different based on what happens.
That's very true. And you said it, you know, Harden, Westbrook, guys like that want to just go out. And let's face it, they're ballers. They want to go out. They want to play the game of basketball because it's the game they love. It's a bit of a catch-22, though, because there are some times, especially, you know, near the tail end of the season, where you'd really love to, you know, look at James Harden, who averages, you know, anywhere from 35 to 37 minutes a game, and you'd like to be able to maybe sit him and rest him for a game or two, or get him some reduced minutes heading into the playoffs, so that he's got, you know, a little bit less usage, a little bit, you know, less mileage on those legs heading into the postseason, which, you know, the Rockets have had deep postseason runs the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, more or less. And so that's a lot of wear and tear, not quite as much as, you know, LeBron making, what, 9 straight finals, but it still takes its toll on a player over the years, especially, again, for a guy like Harden, who is a relative Iron Man, you know, doesn't miss a lot of time. Missed a little bit of time last year with a hamstring deal early on in the season, but past that, not a lot of missed games. And then, you know, it's funny. I had a buddy of mine bring this up, and want to get your opinion on it. He mentioned the whole thing about load management and kind of, you know, these athletes taking games off and not really caring about the regular season. And then, you know, that affects ratings because then people are tuning in for these primetime matchups. And then you got Kawhi sitting out randomly. And I think the most notable one was a few years back when Kawhi was still with the Spurs. And there was that primetime matchup. It was Golden State and the Spurs. And it was like Steve Kerr and Popovich had this handshake secret agreement that they weren't going to play any of their big name guys. And so it was like the big three or big four for Golden State all sat out. Kawhi sat out. And it wound up being a really pitiful primetime matchup. My buddy suggested this. If you're going to load manage, you have to do it at home games.
I have no issue with that, because at least if you're doing it at a home game, you know, your home fan has other opportunities to see that player play, for sure. My biggest thing with it is, at the end of the day, these guys are paid a lot of money to be professional athletes. All of us would kill to be a professional athlete and make that kind of money. Your job is to play a sport. Play it. You know, play it. And there's ways to play in a game. If you got a back-to-back, how about you play 25 minutes instead of 35? And then the next night, you play another 25 minutes. Like, let's load manage in-game by limiting minutes. Not having a guy play at all, just saying, nah, we're good. Just saying, nope, no thank you, this game doesn't mean anything. It's a horrible optic for the NBA. You know, the ratings are down for a multitude of reasons. But I seriously think a big part of it is because we don't really get jacked up for the NBA until the playoffs start, because we kind of know who's going to be there during the regular season. There's some appeal at the beginning to see stars in new places, play with their new team. But unless you're the diehard NBA fan, I think the load management is a big part of why people just aren't that interested in the sport. What makes college football and the NFL so great is every week matters so much. The NBA, it's 1 of 82. So if you want to shorten the regular season by a couple games and that will get stars to play more, I'd be okay with that as well. It at least would make the regular season mean a whole lot more if there were less games, because less games means each game becomes that much more important. So I think that's another idea you could look into as well.
Now, we didn't kind of go off on a bit of a tangent there. Sorry, Rockets fans. It's still, you know, is NBA talk, and it's still, you know, very much centric
Rockets fans
to the
should
Rockets.
Be happy they got two superstars that want to be out there every night. You go to the Toyota Center, you're going to see James Harden and Russell Westbrook play.
Exactly. So that kind of, I was trying to circle it back to that, so thank you, Jake. I appreciate that. But past that, you know, kind of bringing things back a little bit more towards Rockets talk, there was the rumor that came out today that the Rockets are looking to pursue Robert Covington from the Minnesota Timberwolves, who was a former Rocket and who has since, you know, gone on to become top 5 3-and-D players in the league?
When you think 3-and-D, Covington is like one of the first guys
to
come to your mind.
And so there's this rumor tied to the Rockets that they're interested in pursuing him. And then there's also a subsequent rumor that Andre Iguodala will be dealt before the trade deadline. And the Rockets have been linked to both of those guys. What do you think that, you know, what do you think about those two names in relation to the Rockets?
I'd be all in favor of the Rockets trying to go after both. The one thing you always know about Daryl Morey is he's always going to check in on whatever options out there. And I think that's what you want in a GM, a guy that's always going to do the homework, do the due diligence, to give you a chance at getting a player that could become available. You just wonder, though, with all the talk last year about how the, you know, the tax could be an issue for the Rockets, and, you know, could they make this deal? You wonder if Tillman Fertitta will put, you know, the money where the mouth is. He said that the tax will not be an issue. That's been some of the rumors that have been floated out there. If that's the case, and you could get one of those two guys and not have to give up a whole lot, and let's be honest here, it's not like the Rockets have a whole lot to give up, so you kind of get an idea of the type of players it would take. I have no issue with it. I think you gotta do whatever it takes to try and win right now. You know, we even talked about this a bit off air earlier. Like, this core is the core, right? You know, James is locked up, Russ is locked up, Gordon's locked up, Capella's locked up. Like, this is the team. There's only so many moves you can make. Like, yeah, you could find a Tyson Chandler. Yeah, you could find some guys on the buyout market. But for the most part, this is the team moving forward. And if you win one championship, you don't have to be the Warriors, you don't have to be the Lakers, you got to win one championship with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, it's all worth it. No matter what happens after that, you got that title. It's all worth it. And if Andre Iguodala or Covington, if that guy could potentially be the difference in getting you over the top, you make that deal because you're trying to win one. Right? You win one, and it's all worth it in the end. You think a Raptor fan is that upset Kawhi left? Sure, they're disappointed, but they got that championship. Harden needs that championship. Russ needs that championship for their legacy. And if you could help them get it by Iguodala coming in or Covington, you got to look into it.
Now, as far as their legacies are concerned, if Harden wins a championship, we'll jump forward. We're in June. Rockets have somehow pulled it off. They win a championship. Where does Harden suddenly rank amongst all-time shooting guards?
I mean,
just with one title.
I think he's top five.
Okay. Does he pass up Dwayne Wade?
Wade is interesting because Wade's such a different player than Harden.
So you've got Michael Jordan, obviously.
Sure.
Kobe number two.
I'd have to put Kobe two.
And then Wade number three?
Wade probably three, but what I find interesting about James is kind of like a hybrid. You know, like James, yeah, his position is shooting guard. We've seen him play the forward spot. We've seen him also play point guard at times in this offense and like lead the team in assist night in, night out. So James kind of embodies like this positionless basketball movement we're seeing. Like, yeah, I guess technically he's a two, but I mean, he runs the offense. He goes out there and, you know, could play in the post. You know, for a shooting guard, if you want to call him that, he's maybe one of the best post defenders in the league, and he doesn't get enough credit for that. So it's tough to kind of classify Harden as a two.
You just had a lot of Rockets fans just heard that, and their ears perked up because they're like, yes, people recognize that James Harden is good at defense. Like,
no, but that's what I mean when we talked earlier in the show about just narratives. There's a narrative that Harden can't win the playoffs. Harden's a terrible defender. Because there's maybe one highlight where he was playing bad defense that went viral, and it's like, oh, see, he always does this. They're not watching the games. You watch the games, you see Harden is a very good defensive player. You know, is he Kobe Bryant in his prime? No. Is he solid? Yes. Can you win a lot of games with James Harden's defense? Hell yeah, because he's going to give you also 40 points a night. So you take the good with the bad, and the bad is not even that bad. His defense is not a weakness of him. Like, I being from New York when I first moved here a year and a half ago, you know, I heard the narrative, oh, Harden doesn't play any defense. Then I'm at Toyota Center. Then I'm watching games. I'm watching every night. Guy plays a lot of defense. He's very good. It's narratives, but it comes back to winning a title. So you win that one championship, narratives change. You know, look at some of the other guys in the NBA who needed that one. To get that one, look what it did for their career. And I think it would be it's as important for any player that's active right now to get a title that it's hard in winning a championship. Like, if you rank players that, like, desperately need to win that championship, you could argue Harden's the number one player in the league that's active that needs that title. For how long he's been around, for how good he's been, he'd be the guy, right? Before Harden, it was like Melo. Melo never won, but then Melo would always get ripped because he wasn't LeBron. Well, sorry, not everyone could be maybe the best player of all time. And James, unfairly at times, gets compared to some guys that, you know what, Steph Curry was on a better team, better situation. You know, Kevin Durant, better team, better situation. Durant didn't win till he went to the Warriors, so championships are so important. But it's tough in this world we live in to only judge a player based on how many rings they have. Sometimes it's not really fair. But that's kind of what Harden and Russ have to do. They got to win that ring, and then the narrative will certainly change.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there, man. Now, quickly, before we close things out, I do want to circle back for a quick second and just let all you Rockets fans know, Ben DuBose, our special correspondent and former host of Locked on Rockets, did put together a quick piece on Rockets Wire as to some of the possible trade scenarios regarding Robert Covington for the Houston Rockets. Essentially, it would have to be you send out three or four different guys to kind of match salary because Robert Covington's making $11.3 million this year. The Rockets don't have any tradable pieces apart from P.J. Tucker because you can't trade Eric Gordon, he just re-upped his extension, so unfortunately he's not tradable before the trade deadline. So as far as any midseason acquisitions go, can't do that. So you basically have to piece together like Nene, Cephalosha. You'd have to trade Gerald Green, which is really painful to say, and you'd also have to get his permission to do that. But knowing, you know, Gerald Green and how much love he has for this team, if it meant making the team better, even though he's injured and not being able to be with the team, I feel like he might, you know, go ahead and say, yeah, go ahead and trade me if it means getting a player that you guys can use. So basically, go check out Rockets Wire, check out Ben's piece for a little bit more information as far as that goes. Now, Jake, before we get you out of here, is there anything you want to plug?
No, I really don't have anything to plug. I do a
not
show.
Not even your Twitter handle?
At Jake Asman is where you can find me on Twitter. I tweet about the Rockets. I tweet about, you know, the Texans, the Astros. I also tweet a lot about everything going on in the world of sports. So love to interact with anyone that listens to Jackson do this podcast. So yeah, just Twitter at Jake Asman. That's where you can get me.
All right, cool. Now for this Tuesday evening, very late Tuesday evening, December 10th episode, this is where we break things. As always, thank you for tuning in. Now, if you want more content before our next show, social media is where it's all happening. We just got Jake's Twitter handle. I'm on there, of course, at JT Gatlin. And then the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Past that, there's Facebook, which can be found at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, the website, LockedOnRockets.com, and of course, our email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of these are different ways to consume content about your Houston Rockets. You can ask me questions about the team. You can make suggestions for the show, place advertising inquiries. Really, it's just a way for you guys to reach out to me and let me know if there's anything that we can do to improve this experience for you, our listeners. Beyond that, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts at, if you could please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes that go straight to your inbox before they show up on the previously mentioned social media outlets, and then we get the benefit of keeping this business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Again, for this Tuesday, December 10th episode, this is where we break. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.